I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm your radio.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It is episode 97 of our podcast. On this week's episode, myself and Andrea Cleary, there she is. We're obviously on the Zoom call. We're going to be talking about some albums that we haven't featured this year so far on the podcast anyway, that have been ones that we've returned to or enjoyed. I guess to mark the half Q1, Q2, end of.
It's really hard to believe, isn't it?
We're halfway.
I'm finding it very difficult. I got a fright yesterday when I looked at the calendar and I saw that it was the 1st of July. I was like, well, first, you know, rent, but also July, what? It's really, really bizarre. But then other times it feels like it should be nearly October. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, once you get past June, you're just like, all right. I think, do you know what it is? I think everything is, there's a lot of looking forward in terms of September, August, all that kind of stuff. So you start thinking of October, you know, obviously we don't have any live events at the moment. So people are talking to me about like, oh, I want Airwaves in Iceland is apparently going ahead. So a couple of people I talked to were like, oh, I want to go to that. So, you know, that could happen. That could be a thing that happens. But we are here on this week's pod to talk about albums specifically. But funny enough, my first choice when we get to it is the last artist I saw live, and one of the only artists I saw live this year, which was the 7th of March. So before we go into that, we're going to pick five albums each, five albums that we have not talked about here. And at the end, we'll talk about some of our other favorites from the year so far. So we've got, I think, five interesting ones each, ones we've only tangentially touched on here, if at all.
So you won't be hearing us talking about Fiona Apple or RTJ because we've covered that. You can go, you can listen to our previous episodes where we have dived in deep into those albums.
So we'll mention
the ones
you
haven't heard us talk about before.
We'll mention the ones at the end that we think are worth going back to as well. And but first we'll start. So we're going to pick five albums each. It's as simple as that. Five albums you should check out from 2020 so far this year. I'm going to start with my first choice. It is from Georgia, who was the last artist I saw live in the real world on the 7th of March in the Academy 2 of all places. And her album came out early doors this year. It was called Seeking Thrills. And I have returned to it quite a lot this year. I'll play a bit of a song called Started Out.
With you. started, because when we started, we are wicked young fools who behave now. Back in the arms.
Okay, so that was started out by Georgia from her album Seeking Thrills, which came out in January. I think it was like the first or second week in January, actually. Had been working, released a few tracks in advance last year. Georgia had an album out in 2015 on Domino Records, self-titled. Previously, really, it was okay, but this album really is a big lift. Georgia was actually really known for being the daughter of one of Left Field. That was one of the things that came out at first when she was signed. But I think it's been great because, like, you know, you see those kind of deals being done and people famous daughters and sons getting record deals. But here we are, like, Seeking Thrills.
Look, man, I'm watching Succession right now. I know all about this shit,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, nepotism all the way.
But
I have to say, Georgia's album now, it really does make good on the promise that a lot of the UK industry were promising when she first arrived. She was on, like, you know, those lists and BBC Sounds and all that kind of stuff originally. But 5 years later, came back with an album called Seeking Thrills. Just a really great dance pop kind of electronic album. Live is where she probably is the best in terms of representing herself, and because she does everything herself. She plays drums, she plays synths, and she has this big kind of rig that she has that is perfect for playing on your own, which also means it's perfect for doing gigs during lockdown, as I saw a couple of weeks ago when she did a gig for the Greenpeace YouTube channel, Access All Areas thing. Really, really impressive. And this album is just really full of great, like, fun pop songs. And About Work, The Dance Floor is probably the biggest one. Started out as another great one, Never Let You Go, 24 Hours, the first four songs. And then there's a lot of great tunes on this. Just one of those, you know, the way you, like, there's almost sometimes there's albums which aren't in the discourse in terms of end of year lists and things like that, but actually there are ones like this that you end up putting on when you're not sure, like, what you want to listen to, and you end up listening to stuff like this a lot more than maybe your list led on, perhaps. So this is my first choice. It is Georgia. Album is called Seeking Thrills. So, yeah. Andrea, yeah, what have you got for us on album number one?
Album number one is, I think, Waxahachie.
It is that, indeed, yes.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. And the album's called St. Cloud. So maybe we can take a little...
Okay.
Lissaroo.
This is Lilacs from Waxahachie.
I wake up feeling nothing, camouflage the waving sky. I sit at my piano, wander the wild rip by. And the lilacs drank the water, and the lilacs die. And the lilacs drank the water, marking the slow, slow, slow. Something you might say. I dream about an awful stranger. Work my way through the day. I run it like a silent movie. I run it like a violent song. I run it like a voice compelling. So right, it can't be wrong. I'm a broken record, write it in the dust.
Waxahachie, and the album is called St. Cloud, and she has been doing a series of live streams the last few weeks, actually Tuesday. Unfortunately, it's on American time, so it's not really good for Irish people because it's on at 2 a.m. on like a Tuesday night or a Wednesday morning. But she's been playing her albums all the way through each week.
That's cool.
So yeah, and
I've missed those completely, probably due to the time difference.
Yeah.
This is an album that I kind of came to only in the past couple of weeks, actually, when I was thinking about lists, and it's one that I've seen. I saw a lot of people talk about it when it did come out. But for whatever reason, it's just been in a Spotify playlist of albums that I need to get around to. So in the run up to this, I gave it a listen last week, week four, and was so happy that I did, because it's completely up my street and is absolutely one of my favorite records that's come out this year. It's so it's Katie Crutchfield is her name, and this is very much a folk and Americana kind of album. It's her fifth album, and it's the first record that she's put out since she got sober. And in listening to like her previous records, that's an interesting thing to note, because substance abuse is kind of something that comes up a lot in her music before. And I think that now that she's sober, that's obviously going to impact the kind of the tone of the record. And it does. And it does so in a really interesting and cool way. I think this is just like her lyricism and the musicality on the record are so confident, even when you have these kind of shaky kind of topics that she's dealing with. Like it's sort of like she's throughout her records chronicled this journey through like adolescence, teens, to your 20s and to your 30s. And here she's kind of settled into this voice and this style that is paying a lot of homage to the Americana and the country that she listened to a lot in her youth, but also with this kind of tinge, that like really sweet nostalgia tinge that you get when you're nostalgic for a place or a time that you were never in. It's always a really special thing, I think, when albums manage to do that. And it definitely celebrates memory and the past through a more mature lens, and it's at times very kind of heart-wrenching, but it's never like troublesome to get through, or it's never that the topics are never so challenging that it's difficult or anything. It's a very nice companion to a certain stage in your life, which I am probably also in, where you're sort of like making changes and growing up and moving on and trying to be good and trying to make positive changes. So it's a nice companion to a transitional change or a transitional stage in one's life that one might experience. It's just really, really lovely. It's really, really nice. And this is the album that has gotten me into her. I didn't really know her before this. And I've gone back and listened to all of her albums, and yeah, she's I'm late to this party, but I'm glad I'm here.
Cool. Yeah, she was supposed to be on tour at the moment, so she would have been in and around Europe at the moment. Unfortunately, she's not. But those gigs are on noonchorus.com Monday night. If you feel like staying up till 2 a.m. on Monday night next week, she is doing this album in full.
Cool.
And they're charging for $15 for each one. So I'm not sure what it looks like or how it works, but cool. I think, like we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, live streams, you know, the novelty's worn off, so people are now charging for them, and as well they should. You should charge for the art that you do, and the performance that you do, especially when you're not making any money elsewhere. I see on her Instagram, she was talking to Kate Berlant recently about the comedian Kate Berlant. You know her? Kate Berlant, she's in loads of stuff. She's just really
I mean, funny. I probably do. I'm just really terrible with names.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a Waxahachie, and the album was called St. Cloud. My second choice this week is from a Crang Bin, the weirdest name that I probably picked this week. It is, yeah, it does sound like the enemy in... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but they are a Texas trio who I think they're on their third album now. I got into them in 2018. Condo Todo El Mundo was the name of the album. They had a new one out only last week, actually, called Mordecai. I'll play a bit from a song called Time, You and I. We have more time. Okay, that's Crying Bin. That is from their new album, which is fast becoming. You know, I think everyone needs a summer album, and I didn't have a summer album proper yet.
Have a summer, Niles.
Well, so. that makes sense, right? But you know, those kind of like I was saying, kind of in the same style of the first album that I picked, the one that you go back to a lot, even if it might not be the best necessarily. Now, I can't say Crying Bin's album is one of the best of the year. It's probably not going to be in the top 10, but it is one of those ones that is so nice to listen to, and it's very laid back, so kind of summer jams, background kind of stuff. Their sound is essentially psych rock, instrumental psych rock and kind of dub. They're very cool looking. They've got it going on in terms of they did a couple of songs last year with Leon Bridges, an EP actually.
My bae, Leon.
Your bae, yeah. Actually, it was earlier this year. Yeah, so it was four songs they did with him. And I've just been really enjoying the album. It's very much of that vein, very laid back, kind of dubby, psych rock. There's a lot more vocals this time. I don't think it's as good as album as their 2018 album, Tondo El Mundo, but it is... It is a welcome addition to my listening at the moment, and certainly one for nice summer days. Like I said, there's more vocals than usual with all three singing a bit. There's a bit of kind of a Latin track with a track called Pelota, but mostly they're gifts at just making really nice kind of vibey instrumental with a little bit of vocal. Kind of psych rock that sounds almost poppy. It's lovely. It's lovely music. It's very comforting. That is my second choice for this week for cool. albums to check out in 2020.
My second choice is an album that has gotten a lot of praise, including from you, who is the person who introduced it to me, and it is by Salt. It's called Untitled Black Is. And we can take a listen to, I think, the second track on the album, which is called Stop Them.
Salt, one that we mentioned only last week, because it only came out 2 weeks ago. It is called Untitled Black Is. Did you find any more information about this band? It was very mysterious when I looked into it. Nobody really knows who they are. Michael Kiwanuka is on the album, but we don't know who exactly it is. It's maybe somebody, a producer or a session musician who works with the likes of Michael Kiwanuka. NPR had a listening party for this album last week, which shows that, you know, it's making its way out there and people are paying attention to it, which is good. Interestingly, their piece on it did not say a single thing that they were actually a UK band, but it's very much, tell us a bit more why you picked this one.
Yeah, so I think it's just a really beautiful collection of songs, like, and it sort of spans a lot. It encompasses funk, soul, spoken word, and then, as you heard in that track, something more akin to kind of protest chants. And musically, it's very, very layered. It feels like, for me, it will take a long time for me to kind of decipher it and really get my teeth into it. And while a lot of it points to the present, it's also very much aware of its own relationship with its past and with the kind of the history of Black music. there's not a lot of Black music history that you won't find referenced or celebrated on this album, but it also is very timely and very much of the here and now. So it is that kind of cyclical past becoming present and hopefully becoming future thing. It's really hypnotic and soulful as well. It really kind of it jumps towards you in its kind of energy, and then but it's also quite introspective as well. And I think there's been a lot of talk about, and rightly, about white people going away to read and learn and put in the work to understand Black cultures and Black communities and the systemic oppression that they experience, but also how to celebrate Black greatness too. But I think that a comprehensive reading list, when it comes to these topics, should definitely also include music. And I think that this is a really, really fantastic album for you to go away and really listen to it and really learn from it, because I think we can learn from music, and we can learn how musicians, as part of their communities, interact with their own past within their own section of art. And I think here, as a white listener, there's a lot of kind of difficult questions that are posed, and we have to hear them and we have to sit and think with them. But this is extremely artful music that celebrates Blackness and invites those difficult conversations, but doesn't ever make them feel difficult. You know, like, this is one of the most enjoyable ways that I can think of to go away, shut up, listen and learn. Because you will want to find out where that sample is from. You will want to find out where you can hear more music like this, or like this other song, or you'll want to learn about all of the instrumentation and all of the subtle and not so subtle references to other musics within the kind of the Black diaspora. It's a really, really fantastic work, and one that I don't even really feel like I've scratched the surface with yet. But it's like jumping into a huge pool. You know, it's expansive, it's huge, and incredibly enjoyable.
Lovely. Yeah.
I know that you're a big fan of this.
Yeah, and
as
I'm
well.
Still, I'm in the same. It's only been out 2 weeks. I'm still delving into it, and I'm enjoying listening to it. I do think it is a really good album in terms of where we're at right now and why it came out at the right time in a way. Mm. Like that song Wildflowers that we played last week, you know, you couldn't have timed it, not in a way that's like marketing, but just, you know, in terms of like society, like the lyrics there, take off your badge, we all know it was murder, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious what those things are about, because it keeps repeating itself in history. And it kind of reminds me in a way, it's obviously not exactly analogous in terms of music, but in the same way that like when I was younger and I started listening to stuff like Public Enemy and It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back and Fear of a Black mm-hmm. Planet, and how you would learn about, you know, the Black experience through listening and reading the lyrics and understanding what Chuck D is talking about and all that kind of stuff. And you would soak it up and really learn as you were listening to this, like, very good music as well. So
and it's a nice addition to the current kind of musical moment that is happening in Black communities across the world, in that it is not a rap album. Like there's so much space, obviously, for there to be different kinds of Black voices, and this is one that it's dealing with, like, similar and to a point the same topics as, for example, the RTJ album is, but in completely different not more complex, but just complex in a different way. It's using a different part of its own history, and there's so much more space at the table for different voices within this conversation. And Black protest music isn't always rap music. And we tend to conflate the two with each other. So this is a very, very good addition, I think, to that conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, that Assault album is called Untitled Black Is. That's their third album in 2 years, actually, as well. I must go back and listen to the other two and in due course. Now, speaking of different voices in Black music, the next artist is a recent discovery for me. We're talking Luke Sharkey actually put me onto this. This is Rap Ferrara. The album is called Purple Moonlight Pages, And this is a song called Green.
Empty make a better vessel, yeah, what I mean. And our colors shall be green as we tend to grow. Tender matters of hope, tender, tender, gardener of letters. King hat pretender, benevolence lender. No interest rate. Ruby, I ain't met a crest we couldn't break. Needless to say, the cipher's secure. However, your processor need a reboot to update.
The boys in blue investigate.
What's poppin'? Thought cycle rotten. Newport smoke down to the cotton. It's simple mathematics, refracted madness. Wrote the rhyme with fridge magnets. Daydreaming the whole lunch. Under in the need a low bowl cut. Eddie Jefferson singing so what. This is music for quitters and dropouts. This is music for the flop house. Give me my props now, I say, clanging my briefcase. Can you believe the nerve of these cheap skates? Hogging sunlight and the technology behind photosynthesis. Let's measure rhythms and distances. This beat goes 29 million miles before moving. I think I'm improving, but who could say? Since no point is fixed, more or less, I think my point is missed. I've decided to embrace what differentiates me from the anointed clique. Ruby Yacht Land ownership. Let's build a monument and stand over it. Hand in hand, off sides, odd pride, like watching your kid's first tantrum. A relevant data set. Lost alpha, now pay to bet. Beta, Hepcat, see you later.
See you later. Like I'm supposed to be here.
But anyway, what did you have for lunch today? I had some daydreams myself.
Okay, that was Rap Ferrara. The album is called Purple Moonlight Pages. So what do you want to know about Rap Ferrara? His real name is Rory Allen Philip Ferrara. He's a Nashville MC. And this album came out in March. He's previously released albums under the names Milo, Scallops Hotel, Black Orpheus, and also as a collaborative project, Nostrum Grocers. Generally,
all very strong names.
Yes,
I just say.
Scallops Hotel.
That's my favorite one.
The album in general is kind of this abstract kind of spoken word rap album. It has a very kind of indie sensibility. It reminds me a lot sometimes of Flying Lotus and Shabazz Palaces on Sub Pop. So kind of alternative hip hop kind of spoken word stuff. It's quite free associative in terms of its tone and loose in spirit. It's produced by the Jefferson Park Boys, who kind of like, there's a lot of jazzy kind of stuff here, brass and keyboards, things like that. It's very nice. You remember Book 65, the artist Book 65, do you remember him?
I don't think so.
It's been a while since he's done anything, but he was kind of Canadian alt rap stuff. He used to come here a lot and play Dublin and Ireland a lot. There's a bit of that kind of energy to this, the way it's kind of, his rhymes can be very dense but very casual. Like one of the songs here is about like doing laundry and having a son watch him and stuff like that. So and there's a song called No Starving Artists. Open Mike Eagle and Mike Ladd feature on the album as well. It's just one of those, like I said, one of the nice things about, you know, going and processing albums for lists is that you discover new things. And I have a big selection of stuff in my Spotify playlist that I'm currently listening to that I have to get back to. And this is one of my most recent discoveries from those kind of lists that I would just put on and see how I feel about it. I discovered quite a few albums, and I have to give Luke a shout out for that. There's another album from Eloquent called Old Times. Forever is a pretty long time. Also a new discovery for me, but the Rap Ferrara was the one that stood out the most that I hadn't heard in recent weeks. So that is a nice thing to get, I think, you know, a nice discovery. It's been interesting as well, going back, I think, a little bit to some of the ones that I thought I wanted to go back to, and stuff like Grimes, and I really don't feel much for it still. And I'm like kind of disappointed. I thought by like maybe after things had died down a bit, I would have been feeling a bit more positive about it. But it turns out no, it was the answer on that front. But anyway, this is the thing. Sometimes you discover new things and all of that. So that is Rap Ferrara, Purple Moonlight Pages. Dre, your choice is next.
My next choice is an album called Sweet for Max Brown by Jeff Parker, and the song is called Narcissus.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jeff Parker, who is an experimental modern jazz guitarist, and he's kind of a serial collaborator. His last record in 2016 was called The New Breed, and that was a collaboration with jazz players at International Anthem, which is a collective of these kind of experimental jazz musicians based in Chicago, and that was a really, really fantastic record. He's really interested in live improvisation within jazz, but then also incorporating looping and sampling, so you get a kind of a very much a jazz sound, but almost like it's been put through a kind of a the history of hip hop kind of filter, which is really, really cool. He's primarily a guitarist, but he plays almost every instrument on this record. And he's, I think, really here anyway on this album, he really stands out as an arranger. Sorry, my laptop made an extremely loud noise in my headphones just there and I got a fright. Okay, good arranger. And it's, I mean, when you're going through the album, like it's quite giddy and quite ecstatic and visceral, and just as you're kind of settling into one groove, you're sort of hurled into the next one. But there is a lovely centerpiece in the album, which is really beautiful. Covers the wrong word to use in jazz, but this kind of reimagining of John Coltrane's After the Rain, which he dedicated to his mom, because John Coltrane is one of her favorite musicians. And it's a really, it's one of the most kind of tender renditions of that song or that piece that I've ever heard. It's almost onomatopoeic, like you can kind of feel yourself being in like a kind of a wet street, and it's very, very beautiful. And keeping with the family theme, his daughter Ruby sings on the first track on this album. It's the only lyrics or vocals on the album, and she also sang on the last track of the last album, and she's got really, really nice lines on this album. On Build a Nest, in which she pays homage to creativity as being like the process being the destination, and the joy of making and doing without an end product in mind being celebrated. And that kind of, you know, it captures the spirit of jazz, I think. She sings Everybody Moves Like They've Some Place to Go, Build a Nest, and Watch the World Go By Slow, which I think is really nice. Her vocal work is really beautiful in that. But yeah, the whole record's like, it is a journey, but it goes by in an instance. It's the best jazz I've heard this year, I think, or it's certainly my favorite jazz I've heard this year. But it's definitely not only for jazz fans. I think hip hop and R&B fans will find a lot to love.
I just copped who he was. He was in Tortoise, right?
So, yeah.
So yeah, very in, like post-rocky, yeah, kind of very Pitchfork friendly as well, actually.
Yeah. If you look at his Wikipedia credits or wherever people keep their credits these days, he's worked with like a lot of people. He's pretty prolific, but he's great, and this album is really fantastic.
Okay, that is called Jeff Parker. The album is called
Sweet for Max Brown.
Sweet for Max Brown. Yes, I had it in my head and then I forgot it. Okay, my next choice is from Princess Nokia, who had two albums out on the same day. One of them was called Everything is Beautiful. The other one was called Everything Sucks. I've chosen the former, Everything is Beautiful, because I'm an optimist. So this is a song from that.
You fool.
Yeah, I know. Called Sugar Honey Iced Tea. These bitches don't like me. These bitches won't fight me. And doing shit just to spite me. I see them talking on the IG. Think you jealous, maybe high key. I got the juice, I got the high C. Do I care? Unlikely. You want that time on your hands, cause all that time you been hating. I know you mad that I'm famous. I know you mad that I made it. With all the time you been hating, you could've
turning to something. Sometimes it works out for people, sometimes it really just doesn't. Don't do this shit to be famous, I do this shit cause I love it. I shot an arrow, said fuck it, I took a chance, came from nothing. You have to go for it, warning, you have to rise up above it. If you go unexpected, well girl, I think that you bugging. How you want what I have? You ain't working yourself. That toxic energy shit ain't really good for your health. I think you need better goals, cause oh my god, you seem lost. You talking shit about my music, but what the fuck have you dropped? Now what the fuck have you done? Accolades you have none. Your lazy ways get you none. I go and pray for you, hun. Sugar, honey, iced tea. These bitches don't like me. These bitches won't fight me. And doing shit just to spite me. I see them talking on the IG. Think you jealous, maybe high key. I got the juice, I got the high C. Do I care?
Okay, that was Princess Nokia. Album is called Everything is Beautiful. You heard Sugar, Honey, Iced Tea. Which, yes, does stand for SH1T as well. Yes.
This is a family podcast.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. I've now decided we're rebranding.
It's a family. It's Mum's Net for music. Oh, God,
what? That took a turn.
Yeah. So the album was meant to represent a representation of the sensitive feminine side of the gender-fluid artist. I don't think Mum's Net... we'd be too pleased about that in the main. I see Graham Lennon got kicked off Twitter. And took to Mumsnet to give out about it. So there we go.
Yeah. anyway, turned him away.
Yeah, side note. So yes, this album was released the same day as Everything Sucks, the two very different collections of music. Everything Sucks was kind of recorded in a week and much brasher, kind of harder rap style. A more ruthless collection is how she describes it herself. This is beats primarily by Tony Seltzer and 1900. Princess Nokia is like, ooh, how many albums now? One, two, three. Yeah, this is her fourth album. So just a prolific artist who's been putting out a lot of stuff. And two albums in one day kind of represents the duality of who she is or who they are.
How do you feel about them putting out two separate albums and not having it as a double sider?
They do stand on their own, I think. They do feel like very different. And I'm actually, in terms of processing it, in terms of listening, it's nice not to feel like you have to listen to the second disc if you don't want to.
I like that too. I think people should do that a bit more, especially when there's two very separate, like linked ideas, but very separate kind of sounds.
Yeah.
I'm about putting them out separately, even if they are on the same day.
Yeah. And there's great covers on the album to really represent that. Like the Everything is Beautiful is her, like they're kind of like high school portraits where she's sitting there with like a dunce cap kind of thing and holding like a mouse or something, or like a rodent of some kind. And then the Everything Sucks, she's like holding a teddy bear looking miserable. And there's like a, as opposed to the background of Everything Beautiful, there's like a blue sky and then there's like a dark cloud above everything and Everything Sucks. So there is the nice duality. I think, you know, the question would be, why did she release the albums on the same day? Well, I think it really is more than just like crowding out herself or the release process, more just a statement on the duality and personalities that the artist has. That really does come across in the music. I think for here, in terms of Everything is Beautiful, it's much more bright and chirpy compared to Everything Sucks. And it shows a range of styles. It kind of feels like a bit more open and expansive. She does a lot in terms of vocals that I think is quite interesting. There's a lot of like Gemini, the song called Gemini, that kind of reminds me of Bahamadia, the one of the original like female MCs that I first heard that I like just loved. Kind of, it's very spoken word, kind of cool, low voiced. Does a good impression of Chance the Rapper on Green Eggs and Ham. Kind of close approximation to Tierra Whack on Wash and Set, and then kind of like jazzy live vocals on a song like Blessing. And then she was due also to play the week of lockdown, pretty much, or the week after when it all happened. So that never happened. That was supposed to take place in Vicar Street. So still yet to see her or them. I'm not sure if it's what the correct pronoun is, but I should check that. So yeah, Sugar Honey Iced Tea is a bit of a banger, a bit of a like a big pop tune as well. So
absolute banger, yeah.
Yeah, so that was my, you know, when an artist is kind of outside the mainstream in lots of ways. You can easily, even if you're paying attention, you could easily miss things because you just don't. But the Sugar Honey Iced Tea really like made a huge impression, even though I was already familiar with the artist. So yeah, I've been listening to that for a bit. Everything is Beautiful is the one I'd recommend of the two. So
cool. My fourth record is a complete deviation from The Sound of Princess Mononoke. It's A Song for Our Daughter by Laura Marling, which it's surprising that we didn't actually cover on the podcast, but and this song is called Only the Strong.
Love is a sickness cured by time. Love is a sickness cured by time. Bruises all and love is a sickness cured by time. I hope that you can change my mind. Had to leave this crying all behind. I hope that you don't think that I'm unkind. So somebody told me only and only, only the strong.
So that is from Song for Our Daughter by Laura Marling. We figured out there that we didn't cover this album when it came out, because it came out in like a mammoth release day when it was The Strokes, this record, and Hamilton Lighthouser. So there was a lot going on at the time. But I have since given it the time that I think it deserves, and I think it's a really beautiful album, actually. I think it's definitely her most personal work here. It's her seventh album, which is kind of unbelievable. And she has definitely kind of taken more steps to move into a more kind of expansive sound. There's the addition of string arrangements by Bob Moose, who's worked with Bon Iver and The National. And it definitely backs her up, or kind of props her up, and she's sounding more mature and more confident on this record than we've heard it before. And while things are still musically quite straightforward, like she's taking elements of kind of Paul Simon and Joni Mitchell, there is a definite kind of shift in her tone here. Sometimes she's quite sarcastic and cutting, and other times she's very tender and sincere, but she strikes a real balance with those two kind of contrasting tones and ideas, which I find really engaging, actually. And what's more, it works as an album. It works as a meditation on a theme. And I think somewhere in there is kind of the idea of family and the kind of endless wins and losses that happen within it. And it's just dealt with very tenderly, very beautifully, and I think it's absolutely the best she's ever sounded.
Very good. She said it was a kind of a how she would guide her daughter, arm her, and prepare for life and all its nuance, and that was one of the reasons why this record came about. She says, I'm older now, old enough to have a daughter of my own. I feel acutely the responsibility to defend the girl, capital T and capital G. The girl might be lost, torn from innocence, prematurely or unwittingly fragmented by forces that dominate society. I want to stand behind her and whisper in all her ear all the confidence and affirmations I've found so difficult to provide myself. So passing on some positive experiences and being a good mother, yeah.
And it does have that kind of interesting dynamic that mothers and daughters share, that other variations of parents and children don't necessarily share, because mothers have to kind of warn daughters about things, and they have to warn sons about things too, but this is specifically about that. And it's a really beautiful kind of meditation on that topic, and very, very gentle to listen to. It's a nice Sunday afternoon album, definitely.
She's still doing her Instagram guitar lessons. I think she
Not
is.
That I've seen.
No,
it's still
listed on her Instagram anyway. I think she's still doing them. I'm not sure, but either that or she's still listing them. But I'm not sure. But because I do the live stream guide every week, and you just never know. It says Isolation Guitar Tutorials every Sunday at 7 p.m. So I don't know. I guess have a look on Sunday and see if they're still there. There's loads of them on. Oh yeah, they're actually on IGTV on her Instagram. If you want to have a look at that. So she does 20 minute like instructional tutorials for her songs on guitar. So that's great. Okay. I think my final choice for albums to check out this year so far. Yeah, it is an album from Hani El Khatib. It is called Flight. And I will explain a bit about who that person is and why I picked the album after we hear a song called Stressy.
Ghost ride whipping, I can show you where I'm from. East Bay tripping while I'm sucking on a chicken bone. Stuck in a hole. Stuck in a hole. Stuck in a hole.
Okay.
Whoa, that was a journey.
That was Hani El Khatib. The album is called Flight. Hani El Khatib is a UK producer. This is his fifth album, released on a label called Innovative Leisure, who he is a co-partner of. It came out in May. One of those ones that snuck up on me. I was getting a lot of press about it. Finally got around to listening to it, like literally the week it was coming out. And I was like, oh, this is really good. You're just like never sure. You're getting a lot of emails from things. It is produced by Leon Michaels, who did a lot of stuff with L. Michaels Affair is his band. He did some stuff with Travis Scott, Mark Ronson, Lana Ray. But Hani El Khatib is kind of an interesting artist, a bit of a polymath, has worked with GZA and Freddie Gibbs, has done stuff with Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys and stuff like that. So all sorts of things, really. So, and again,
do you know who's drumming there?
I don't know.
Okay, that's okay.
Yes,
it might, sounded really good.
It seems like it is Hani El Khatib himself. Because he seems to be the kind of person who does a bit of everything. So I think it is him. I think it was a toss-up for me this week whether I was going to pick Eve's Tumor album, Heaven of a Tortured Mind, or this one. I went with this one because when I was listening back to both of them, I kind of realized I enjoyed this one more than I did the Eve's Tumor one, even though I think Eve's Tumor has... There's a couple of fantastic songs on that album, Heaven to a Tortured Mind, Kerosene and Gospel for a New Century in particular. But there is a lot of very dark material on that album as well. It's quite muddy and in the mire. So I found the kind of album here, Flight by Hani El Khatib, is kind of like an eclectic mix of garage rock, soul, hip-hop, psychedelic blues, a bit of everything. It's similar in its eclecticism to Eve's Tumor, which is why it was a toss-up between the two, but I think I preferred this kind of buoyant and fizzy nature of this album as opposed to the other one. So that is Hani El Khatib. Album is called Flight.
Cool. So my final album, and our final album, is from a band called Indian Queens. The album is called God is a Woman, and this track is called God is a Woman.
While you sing hymns and song, fingers crossed to make it all bittersweet. All these years lived in fear. If I cross the gates into
tea. I hope to find that God is a woman. Who am I to start a revolution? And who are you to find God?
That was Indian Queen's album, is called God as a Woman. We're just trying to figure out the Irish connection here, other than the manager. What is Jennifer and Catherine O'Neill, along with lifelong friend Matthew Dudenbick on drums, Indian Queen. So this is a very recent album as well, isn't it?
Yes, within the past kind of month or so, I think. It's a very cool album. It's Indian Queen's debut album, and it's a really, really strong one at that. I think, you know, for a debut, there is a fully formed voice here. It's quite honest, but there is this, like, Jennifer O'Neill, who's the vocalist here, she does kind of sometimes sing with, like, a slight snarl that I really, really like. Her vocals definitely anchor you in this kind of, like, hazy and dreamy soundscape. Which is really cool. I think the album is kind of tackling particularly anxieties about again kind of making changes and being a certain age, being young, and trying to figure out where the personal and the political begin and end, and sometimes that's kind of thrown out the window. You know, she asks questions like, "Who am I to start a revolution? Who wants to start a revolution?" And political ideas and personal ideas tend to kind of mix in with each other until they're sort of inseparable, and that's what life is like, actually. So I think that's quite cool. They sound like where I wanted War Paint to go and where I wanted The Big Moon to go. Her vocals are very, very similar to the lead singer of The Big Moon, whose first album I really, really liked. Second album I didn't like so much. I wish they'd gone this way. But it's grunge tinned. There's kind of a hint of a real kind of soulfulness through it as well, but it does shimmer. It's a very, very well produced album, and it's a seriously strong debut from a band that I only see great things for them, and I would definitely recommend checking this album out if you haven't already.
Very good. That is Indian Queen's album, is called God is a Woman. So we'll be checking that out. We will go through a few of the other albums that, you know, maybe some we discussed already, but I put up a piece on the site today about my 10 favorite Irish albums of the year so far. So while I read a few of those out and discuss them, you can chime in with ones you also like, and also if you have any others that aren't on this list. Albums I really enjoyed this year from Irish artists included, we didn't feature this on this podcast because you'd already reviewed it with Luke in January when I was at Eurosonic.
Yes,
Evanescence Francis. Yeah,
Land yeah, of No Junction. Absolutely in my top five this year. Love that record, and it stands up to many, many, many listens. I would be shocked and appalled if it wasn't one of the first that this year's Choice Music Prize judges will be picking out from.
That's the first mention of the Choice Prize this year.
Yes.
Since you did it. So
it's my big year.
Evanescence Francis, that was also one of the last big nights out for many people in
it was
music.
My last pint.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was the last pint I had, yeah.
God. Evanescence Francis, really great album, very much like this kind of a psych folk thing going on there, but also I can hear a lot of similarities to the likes of Angel Olsen as well, but not in a way that sounds like it's aping the craft of Angel Olsen too much, but very interesting album as well. The likes of Lethal Dialect, LD50 Part 3, a really great rap album, long overdue ending to the trilogy that kind of brings it all back up to date while taking inspiration from kind of boom bap throwback 90s stuff as well as the first two albums did, but seems to do it in a much more cohesive manner.
If anyone was interested in my further thoughts on those two records, I reviewed both of them for the Journal of Music. You can go and read those if you like.
Good plug.
Just saying.
Absolutely. The Scratch album, Couldn't Give a Rats, that one of the few bands in Ireland who actually came out of the pandemic in a positive fashion by bringing their album forward and doing a number of live streams that seemed to stand to them. Now, obviously, they can't do any gigs, but they couldn't give a rat's by the sounds of it because they're on with things.
I love that album.
Kind of trad. I don't want to use the word metal necessarily, but it is like fast rock music or fast like punkish kind of stuff. Lot of fun, very different. They're a real live band as well, but I think it really does translate well on the album.
Very funny album as well.
Yeah, a lot of Dublin colloquialisms, you know, pulling your jocks up and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, really good album. And then I would also have some recommendations for Gaptooth. It looks like Ryan the Cork producer, recent mixtape featuring Kojak and Keane Kavanagh and Yankee and stuff like that earlier this year. That's a Soft Boy Records release. They've been quiet enough other than that this year, but it's a really good mixtape, 10 tracks. We had Kilkenny multi-instrumentalist RSAG returned with an album, his first in 10 years, called Chroma, which was written with a collaborator as well, and very something a bit different from him. Again, much more textured, much more interesting. Limerick had a strong showing in the early part of this year with two good albums from the rapper PX Music associate Hazy Hayes. He is a character and a powerhouse himself, and his energy bursts forth from the speakers, and always good when somebody who is well adept or capable releases a full length, because I think you know, I think albums still in a lot of ways are good markers for how somebody can see a vision for themselves, and I think those kind of things, like we've seen two albums, Hazy Hayes, Is Misha, and then Bleeding Heart Pigeons, Stir, I think it's called, and they were
that just missed out on my top five. Actually, did it?
Yeah, today. they were yeah, they were on a major label like 4 or 5 years ago, and then this is an independent album released and made in a shed. It's very it's quite imaginative. It's got a lot going on in terms of its throwback to kind of 80s rock and ambient kind of stuff. It's got it's very interesting, it's very meticulously put together, and then there's also albums from the likes of Evol, the Berlin duo, Otramond, Bridget Maypower, another fine folk album, and then Arvo Party, who released three albums this year, and one of them, Love Above All, is one of the selections I included in that list. And another just quick shout to a couple of albums which I didn't fit in anywhere else. The a really nice folk harmonic duo, brothers called the Ocelots, had an album out called Started to Wonder just a few weeks ago, I believe. I've been listening to that a bit this week. And then Solcat, the another Kilkenny electronic duo there, had an album out called Nocturne. Solcat, S-O-L-K-A-T-T. In terms of yourself, Dre, any Irish albums not listed there that you...
No, I think you covered all of the Irish albums that I really liked this year, actually. Just some albums that I've been returning to a lot that we have covered. I haven't been that wide in my listening, actually. I've kind of just been... there's not much I've been listening to this year. I'm thankfully very busy reviewing a lot of music, so I don't have a lot of time to... listen to stuff beyond what I'm reviewing, but I'm still listening to the Strokes record, still listening to the Fiona Apple record. I am still listening to Mac Miller, who had the first great record of the year, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hope it doesn't get forgotten in end of year lists. I didn't see it on a whole lot of mid-year lists, actually, which I found surprising, but it was absolutely there for me. It's hard when you don't have them written down in front of you.
Andy Schauf, The Neon Skyline, is an album that we both really enjoyed. Lovely album.
Beautiful record. Yeah.
Vignettes based off a narrative based on a night in a bar. It's really lovely.
Yeah, beautiful record. Yeah, that's a very, very strong recommendation for me if people haven't gotten around to it yet. Absolutely listen to that. Hamilton Lighthouser's record from this year is fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Didn't include it in my five because I was convinced that we reviewed it, but we actually didn't, so I was raging. But yeah, that's a fantastic record. That's all I can think of right now.
Okay. An album that I will probably forever associate with lockdown is the Dua Lipa album Future Nostalgia, which I think actually arrived at a lovely time for me. I just really, I loved the escapism of it, and a really good pop album I found. And it's one I've even heard a shop in, it's one of the songs in Century yesterday. I was like, ah, that's nice. Nice, yeah, to hear that.
I'll throw in the Charlie XCX album as well. While I wasn't, you know, floored by it, I respect the hustle and I think there are great songs on it. But I've returned to it to listen to a couple of songs. I haven't returned to it as an album.
Yeah. Okay.
Very much.
RTJ4, which we reviewed like 2 or 3 weeks ago, as well. Perfume Genius set my fire on heart, my heart on fire immediately. A very strong recommend from us, I think, as well.
Phoebe Bridgers, who we reviewed last week.
Punisher,
fantastic record.
Soccer Mommy, Color Theory as well, another album.
Soccer Mommy, Color Theory, one of my favorites. I think Soccer Mommy is the album I've gone back to the most. I mean, it came out in January, I think, or very early on in the year. But I've returned to that a lot, so I imagine that's going to be high at the end of the year.
Okay.
For me.
Very good. I also enjoyed Empress Of, I'm Your Empress Of this year. Big time. I think it's actually her best record. More
that was
back and
this
to it.
Year.
Yeah.
What? Oh my god.
It was like April or something, wasn't it?
was it
March or April? Yeah.
My mind is blown.
So there you go. Jessie Ware had a new album out last week, which I've only given a few listens to, but it's a nice, very pleasant Jessie Ware album. But
I've only gotten one listen to it, so I didn't feel confident enough to discuss it this week. But really, really, really like it.
Yeah. Other ones I've been enjoying the last while. Everything is Recorded, Friday Forever, the Richard Russell album, which features a couple of Irish artists, actually, Maria Somerville and Cian Kavanagh, alongside Berwyn and Infinite Coles, and Ghostface Killah's on it as well, along with Jai Paul's cooler but more prolific brother, not by much.
How is he at getting posed out to you?
Huh?
How's he getting posted out to you? Should we contact him?
Who?
Jai Paul's brother.
Oh, right. Yeah. What about him?
Maybe he can have a word with that brother of his.
Yeah.
About my toast that I have ordered.
Oh, yeah. The album. Jesus, we're still talking about that. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
That's two years.
It was
now,
supposed
is it?
No, it was supposed to come out in, we were supposed to get it in January. And then the last time we talked about it, we were like due to hear about it.
No, we were supposed to get it in January, but that was the, that was like the delayed date.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be before that.
So where are we at now? Where is it?
I don't know, Niall.
And do you know, I... where is it? 27th of February was when we last talked about this.
Like what?
It's July now,
lads. Like I know there's been a lot going on, but lads, shoot me an email for God's sake.
Jesus.
Where's my EP, LP? I don't even remember what I ordered.
Okay.
It's just going to show up one day.
Oh my God, I've given them my old address now. Oh,
you've moved house.
I've moved house since this happened. Oh God, okay.
I know.
Fine. I don't know where that's... Actually, I gave them the office address, so that's gone as well. So I don't know if... I was in there this week and there was no post, so
there's no Jai Paul. Well, there's no Jai Paul here either.
I'm gonna have to get back anyway. I'm gonna have to email them again and be asked them to update my address again because they still haven't sent it out.
Please do.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway, sorry.
Good to know.
I forget for about 3 months how angry I am about this, and then I remember and I'm furious.
Then it comes back on you, but hopefully I've also do you have an album that you were disappointed by this year? To not to finish on a bad note, but like,
but let's finish on a bad note.
No, we'll finish on a positive note.
No, we'll finish on a positive note. Okay, this is controversial, but I did not derive as much joy from the Dua Lipa album as other people did.
That's fine.
I wasn't like a huge fan, like nothing against her. She makes great pop music. I know that. But I didn't go into the album as a huge fan already. And it just, it didn't really, there's bangers, sure, but it didn't do it for me as an album. And it hasn't really invited me back very much, to be honest. The 1975, obviously, it's too long. And while I think there's a brilliant album in there, and I've returned to my own playlisting of that album, which is, to me, the only canon album that was released from them this year. It is 9 tracks long and it's perfect. But it was a disappointing album in terms of, like, I just expected something a little bit more concise and a bit more polished. But also, I really, really, really enjoyed all of the conversation around it at the time. It was a big album in that way. It reminded me of the kind of the arguments you have when a Kanye West album comes out or something. And it's like, everybody's talking about this thing. Tons of people absolutely fucking hate it. Tons of people would die for it. And I like that.
It's good to have
Beer Gardens for that.
Event albums to talk about every now and
exactly.
again.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But the album itself was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, fair. I think probably the album that I thought I was going to like, but I didn't really vibe it at all, was the Grimes album, Miss Anthropocene. Just didn't really do anything for me. But looking ahead, we have a album about to be announced. Well, you're going to hear the first single tomorrow from Sufjan Stevens. So yay! Apparently inspired by Ariana Grande. And what was the other artist that I sent you the tweet from? I can't remember now.
There was
a tweet that was taken down that was like, Sufjan says his album is inspired by Ariana Grande, and I'm going to open it now and tell you what it is. Oh, you sent too many messages and now I can't keep it up. Okay, it was Ariana Grande.
How dare you?
Oh, it's gone. Gorilla versus Bear.
The tweet is gone, I think.
Yeah,
this
is
a nightmare.
Anyway, a new album out being announced tomorrow from Sufjan, and the first record is out as well. So I'm excited to hear that. But there's a lot of stuff to look forward to as well this year. In terms of Irish stuff, we've got new albums coming from Pillow Queens, Silverbacks, Paddy Hanna, Nilo, JLOL, Alvaretti, maybe Denise Chyla, maybe the Mary Wallopers, maybe Villagers, Just Mustard, also possibly Fontaine CC, not that you're looking forward to it, but you know, it's going to come out in the end of July. And then beyond that, what else have we got to look forward to?
There's a Litany of Failures Volume 3 was announced. Lots of different Irish artists, post-punk podge, girl band, Grave Goods, The Bonk.
A girl band album this year?
And Silverback. No. These are on the Litany of Failures Volume 3.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, yeah. Cool.
They're all contributing work to that. And that is, I think...
Chance to look at that email, yes?
I think it's available to stream pretty soon. But the physical releases will be out in September. So it looks like a very tasty lineup.
Nice.
And those albums are always good. This is the third one now, so...
Well, Sufjan's album is called The Ascension, and it's out September 25th, FYI. Aww. So,
Sufjan, I'm so... September 25th, my little autumn boy. He's just so kind to me throughout my whole life. He knows when I need him, and he swoops in on a little swan, and he's the best. I'm so excited.
One of 7 swans he swoops in on.
One of 7 swans.
Also out that day, very different, but Idol's album Ultramano, which I'll be excited to hear about. Here, based on the stuff they've released to date.
Yes.
The XX possibly have an album out this year. Kelly Leon's.
The XX feels like they're from the past.
Doesn't it somehow?
It's a different world. Like, yeah. It's been a long time since I've heard the XX as a modern entity kind of releasing music. Yeah. Mightn't have actually been that long though, but yeah.
I know, yeah.
No, there's loads to look forward to this year. It'll be interesting now in the second half of the year seeing what not quite the quality, but the quantity of music. Because I don't think there's actually been, like, in the first half of this year, we've had some very, very good records, but I think compared to last year, we haven't had, you know, the record yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
Have we? Do you think we've had it?
In terms of the
Fiona Apple, Pimp a Butterfly, probably. Or
Fiona Apple this year is the one that everyone agrees on and
is
much lauded. I would say that would be the one that you would get in trouble for not including it in your best of the year.
Yeah,
That would be the only one probably this year.
And don't get me wrong, I love that record, but I feel like I'm still waiting for the big one this year. And I wonder now, because of all of gestures broadly, will that affect the quantity of music that we have to kind of deal with in going into the second half of the year? I can only imagine that it does.
It may do. We
will have less music to pick from for our lists and things, which I guess makes our job a bit easier, but it makes it way less fun. So hopefully.
Yeah, well,
America's pretty much open back up now as well. So,
well, they might have to shut down again, but you may have a new Kanye album. I don't know if I'm ready for that either. There was a new song out this week that I could barely listen to, featuring Travis Scott. It's a half of track, kind of feels like one of those poopity scoop ones. Not quite as bad as that, but like
it feels like
something that was just like off the cuff and kind of unfinished. It's called Wash Us in the Blood. I don't know, man. I don't know. I need a bit more time. I don't need a Kanye album right now, to be honest.
I do not need a Kanye album right now.
So don't do it.
Hold your goddamn horses, Kanye, and wait till we're ready.
Just do the thing that where you say you're going to release it and then you never do, and that's great.
No, because I can't go through that either. I can't go through the stress of that either. I'm in too many WhatsApp groups where that is like the only topic of conversation when it's happening. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Will we do our any other business?
Yeah, so what have you been up to other than what we've been discussing this week?
You know it. It's Succession season 2, baby.
You sent me. I should actually just play the voice message you sent me instead of you talking about it.
I don't even remember what I said.
I
said to that at like 2 in the morning and then stayed up.
It gave me a lot of joy.
You
also said earlier this week, my album of the year is the Succession soundtrack.
Oh my God. Have you listened to the whole soundtrack?
No, I haven't, but I've watched the show, obviously. So.
Mate. Oh, look, it's well worth listening to the actual soundtrack. It's unbelievable. Amazing composer. But yeah, just been watching Succession, thinking about Succession, looking at pictures of the people who star in Succession. Can't look at any memes yet. Can't go on Tumblr about it yet because I can't go on Reddit about it. Because I haven't finished it yet and I don't want any spoilers, but I'm so ready to just enter into this fandom and not find my way out for a while. I've said this to a couple of people, and they've both, one has agreed with me and one is unsure, but is it a thing with Succession fans where Greg and Tom, like they're in love, right?
Tom has a secret thing for Greg, but it's very destructive. Not a very nice thing for Greg to experience.
Absolutely. But at the same time, so I think it is probably, it's some bi panic is going on and he's so afraid of loving him. But they love each other. Also, I'm calling it now. Greg is gay. I've just always read him as gay. So I think that's why that dynamic is kind of working a little bit more for me as well. Because I'm they're in love with each other. But it's horrible. It's genuinely horrible. But they're my favorite dynamic on the show. So I watched season 2, episode 4 last night, which is an episode in which Shiv and Kendall hug each other. And it damn near broke me. It was a really, really beautiful moment, if you know the moment I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously trying not to give away too many things. Bore on the floor. That was weird. That was a weird episode, but also very good.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Blank Space Mansion. I recognized it like immediately. I was like, that's the Taylor Swift mansion from Blank Space. Well, and then I looked it up and it is. But yeah, just Succession have literally been like doing and thinking absolutely nothing else.
Well, there's an article on Little White Lies about exactly that. It's called Exploring Queer Desire in HBO Succession. Undercurrents of homoerotic obsession run through the hit show. It says...
Tom and Greg
are regularly shown watching one another. Tom's touches linger. Greg's eyes twinkle. At one point, Greg says, "Are you trying to seduce me?"
Eyes twinkle.
Greg says, "Are you trying to seduce me?" Jokingly asks at an expensive dinner. Blushing, Tom confirms the true laughter that he is. When their office is put under lockdown, the two are sequestered in a safe room, and Tom disparagingly references this as hiding in the closet.
Yes.
So yes.
And Greg is like, "I don't want to work for you anymore." And Tom is like, "Are you trying to break up with me?" And then Greg is like, "Oh, we can have a business open relationship," which obviously triggers him from Shiv being like, "Our marriage needs to be an open marriage." And he starts pelting bottles at him and saying, "I won't let you take what is mine."
Yeah, I know.
Come on, man. I'm so
apologies to anyone who hasn't watched Succession yet, but you should.
Oh, they're long gone. They're long gone.
I would say, if you haven't watched it, I think it seems to be universal for a lot of people. You have to get past. It's one of those annoying things where you do actually have to get past like
3 episodes,
3 or 4 episodes, yeah, then you're like golden. After that, it's fine. Like you're like, "What is this show?" And you're like, "Just watch it. It's really good."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then
I don't
want to
tell you about it,
goes,
but just watch it.
Yeah,
yeah. But if anyone out there is prime for some queer baiting, Succession, do it.
I'll send you a link to that
Sherlock levels, like,
so you can read.
Yeah. What have you been doing and feeling?
Well, I haven't been watching anything other than, what film did I watch last week? Can't even remember. I've been playing a PlayStation game, PS4 game, The Last of Us 2. It's the one that's everyone talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
When I realized this week that there was dogs that you could kill, I felt very uncomfortable about playing the game anymore. I don't want to kill any dogs.
There's one that you have to kill.
No, apparently so. Yeah, that's why I looked up. Is like, can I do this without having to kill dogs? Because like,
does the dog die? Yeah.
I literally got my dog back today from after 4 months of lockdown, and she's there on the couch having a lovely snooze. And
Look at her.
The thoughts of me. Sitting beside her while killing virtual dogs is not one that fills me with great feelings.
Any game that makes me kill a dog, I'm not playing that game.
Well, apparently you don't have to kill a dog other than one. So, still. Anyway, I've been enjoying that. I've been enjoying the escapism of killing zombies for the most part, which have been fun. And just been watching Sopranos still. I'm not watching an awful lot, really.
That's okay. That's good. We've been watching a lot over the past few months.
I did actually start watching Succession again. I watched 3 episodes of Succession, the first season.
Can we have a side Succession podcast, please? Because we need to get Dave Hanratty on it as well.
Oh yeah,
because he's been getting my voice notes every night, and I think he's this close to being like, "Please stop talking to me about the show. I get it, you like it."
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it is a great show. I mean, it'll be a while before we get season 3, but that's okay. I guess we can deal with that one when it comes. Great. Yeah. The other thing is, I'm going to a pub tomorrow to see what it's like. I'm going to the Circular in Rialto to see what it's like, and. Weird. It'd be weird to be outdoors or not in my own house. I mean, indoors, not in my own house. And there was a gig announced this Saturday. We're still kind of up in the air a bit in terms of what's happening. Well, everyone is. I watched the Oireachtas Committee on Arts and Entertainment, and I have to give a shout out to Shane Dunn in particular from Independence and MCD, and from the Epic Group, who represent a lot of people working in production in the industry, and Angela Dorgan from the National Campaign for the Arts, who along with the EIA, the Event Industry of Ireland, or Association of Ireland, who did a very good job in explaining to the Oireachtas particular predicaments of the arts and entertainment industry. I think for a lot of people, you know, asking for the extension of the PUP pandemic unemployment payment for people in arts and entertainment, as no events can come back until probably what we're looking like 2021. I think There are some small gigs and like sit down things currently starting to happen now. There's one this Saturday in Dublin. There's the Market Bar, which is quite a large space, is doing kind of a sit down DJ thing. So you basically have food and there's a DJ in the corner, and that's fine because it's big enough to do that. But so yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in terms of live music, if anything. All I know is that Iceland Airwaves is planning on continuing because they've done such a good job of coping with COVID-19 that they will be reopening. But I guess the only thing about that is they're reliant on tourism, so they will be expecting people to come from all over the world. So,
travel. Yeah.
Yeah,
which we're being advised not to do. So.
Exactly. So yes, but that's it from me. I think the only other thing, I have a plug for this Friday night, which is tonight, by the time if somebody listens to this on the day it comes out. I did an all-Irish electronic mix for Keltronic that I'll be streaming and playing at 7:15 tonight on the Keltronic's YouTube and Facebook page and stuff like that. Really pleased with it. 21 tracks, all-Irish. All Irish electronic artists are pretty recent as well, so I'm really happy with how that turned out. And
cool.
That's the main thing for me this week.
I have no plugs.
Good. Okay. Well, that's okay.
Quiet in the Western Front.
Why don't you pick a song from one of the Irish albums that you enjoyed this year, and we'll
we'll
play it out at the end.
One of the Irish albums that I enjoyed this year. Why not go for Evanessa Francis, Geranium.
Lovely choice, miss. Lovely choice. Very good. Okay, so yep. We'll finish this week's podcast. Thanks so much. Patreon.com/909. I put out another Patreon weekly playlist along with the exclusive preview of the Keltronic set earlier this week, and more stuff. It's the best way you can support us in what we're doing, and
we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to be happening next week, but that's the fun of it, isn't it?
It's a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey.
Oh, who are we giving a shout out to?
Oh yeah, and a shout out to my friend Kieran, who's been saying very lovely things about our podcast in the last couple
Kieran
of weeks.
You are the biz.
He's a gem.
You are good at Twitter also.
He's a gem. He was on the Irish Jam actually last week. Performing a song.
That. Go listen to that.
Our man from the Horse Country doing a cover of A Lazarus Soul. So you can check that out on the Irish Jams Mixcloud, I believe. And you can find a link through Golden Plek, who also frequently posts about that. But we're going to finish with a shout out to Kieran, and he's an old friend of mine. And so thanks to everybody for listening.
Happy half year.
Yeah, we had a good showing in the podcast charts last week. I don't know what that means anymore, because like you just never can tell where it's going to be. But thanks for that, I guess. That means the numbers are good. Thanks. We're going to finish with Evanessa Francis from Geranium from her album Land of No Junction. Drea, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Silent bow. Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.